For more now on Scott Walker's decision to drop out and what it might mean for the rest of the GOP field, we're joined by James Pendle, our New Hampshire primary political analyst for WBUR, reporter for the Boston Globe. Good morning, James. Thanks for speaking to Morning Edition.
Good morning.
What drove Walker's decision to suspend his campaign, do you think?
At the end of the day, this is about money, and he ran out of money. He had a huge staff. When he was riding high, he would hire a bunch of consultants from Washington, and then they got really expensive, and he couldn't afford it. But what drove the money to dry up was his poor debate performances. Fox News and CNN wanted to have an impact with these debates, and they have. They got big ratings, and now two candidates, Rick Perry, had a dropout because he wasn't on the main debate stage in August. And now Scott Walker had a dropout because he went from almost first place status in March all the way down to an asterisk just on Sunday.
One of the reasons Walker cited for getting out in his very brief statement was he was trying to shrink the GOP field so that someone else would emerge as an alternative to Donald Trump. And he encouraged other GOP candidates to do the same, to get out of the race. Any takers you see on the horizon at this point to that?
Well, I think we're going to wait the next couple of weeks. I think what's key here is the end of the month when we have a fundraiser report due, and we're going to see how some of these other candidates are doing raising money. But I think what you're seeing from Walker is a frustration of Trump. You know, there's no other candidate who has seen their poll numbers dive more because of Trump than Scott Walker. This is particularly true in Iowa. And what Walker is saying is going along with what I've believed all along, that Donald Trump will not be ended by one single singular moment here, but by this much more subtle game of the winnowed field and, you know, very clear options of where people are supposed to go if they're not with Trump.
At this point, though, there's no clear alternative emerging to Trump among the establishment candidates. And I'm talking about the candidates other than the other outsiders, Mr. Carson and Ms. Fiorina.
Yeah, that's right. You're hearing a lot of the dynamics now being played out, that there are two lanes in the 15 candidates that are remaining in this race. There's an establishment lane and an anti-establishment lane. And when you look at the top three candidates right now nationally, they're dominated by this anti-establishment wing.
Who do you think among the establishment candidates may have the best shot at rising in the coming weeks or months?
Well, the thing we're not talking about is after Iowa, after New Hampshire, after South Carolina, you basically have 30 states, over half the country, voting in just a short period of 52 days. And that's about $25 or $30 million a week. And right now, there's only Donald Trump and Jeb Bush who have the ability to really compete at that level.
New Hampshire political analyst, Boston Globe reporter James Pendle, thanks a lot for speaking to Morning Edition. Appreciate it, James.
Thank you.